About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land, the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, or ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Then staying in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, picking up at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Lord, thank you for the power in your word. Thank you for the grace, the wisdom, the direction in your word. Thank you for the clear insight and understanding your word gives us about your will, your perspective, and your thinking. You let us know in your word what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and what does not honor you. More and more stir us as the church to be committed to your word and living by your word. Stir us to be a people that are faithful hearers and doers of your word. Stir us to be faithful disciples who are disciples and who are making disciples every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your guidance. Thank you so much for your wonderful laws. Father, Jesus says that whenever we hear your laws and we don't act them out whenever we don't obey your word, that it's like building our house on sand. And Father, you say that whenever we follow what you've commanded us, it's the way of life. It is the way of building our house on solid foundation where we won't be shaken whenever trials come. So Father, I ask that you'd give us boldness and steadfastness to walk in your ways. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us so well and giving us these wonderful instructions. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Once again, we're blessed and privileged to have with us for just a few minutes, Brother Charlie Weissong. And many of you probably remember Brother Charlie's name and or the project he's heading up. He's heading up a great and very exciting project whereby he's trying to help get out 1 million-plus yard signs that carry the Ten Commandments, wonderful yard signs that have the Ten Commandments on the front and the back. And for people that want more information about how you can get your yard sign, and I'm hoping every single listener will decide, I want a yard sign too. What a wonderful tool to disciple my neighborhood by putting the Ten Commandments in a broad way up front where any and everybody can read it. So Brother Charlie's with us once again. How are you, Brother Charlie?
I'm doing fine, Brother Joseph, and thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Always good to have you. Tell them that website one more time as far as how they can get the yard signs.
All right. It's real simple. It's 10laws.us. 10laws.us.
All right.
And really, I've got a story on there, right on the website.
Okay.
About a man, a very influential man, influential internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And his life verse is Proverbs 22:1.
Mm-hmm.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I mean, this is a man who's serious about serving God. And I said to him, our nation is being destroyed before our very eyes. And he agreed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me show you why. And I took a blank sheet of paper and I shoved it across the table to him. And I said, I'd like you to write out the Ten Commandments. They don't have to be in order. They don't have to be word for word. He struggled for 10 minutes. He just did not want to fail at this. And he went on for 10 minutes. He could not get them. He got 8.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I said to him, I said at the end of our lunch, I said, you know, if we could just get people to learn the Ten Commandments well enough to teach them to their children,
mm-hmm.
and then begin teaching them to their children and get a copy up in their home, I said, we could change this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no. He said, no, brother. He said, you're thinking way too small. He said, you could change this world.
That's right.
Isn't that nice?
That's right. That's nice and is powerful as well. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Well, again, Brother Charlie, I think this is such a powerful project, a good project. I hope every single listener will prayerfully consider getting one of the yard signs, putting it in their yard. And just like in my case, when my wife Bertie and I put our yard sign out, our neighbor immediately, she said, I want one. And we helped her get one. And so we have at least 2 on our street with 2
Amen.
Yards with the Ten Commandments in them. So, Brother Charlie, would you pray for the church and listeners to be committed to doing projects, whether it's this one or another project, but projects that allow us to be used mightily by God to be bright, shining witnesses in our communities and in our culture?
Well, if I could, let me just include the Crisis Pregnancy Center because,
yes,
you know,
sir.
After 50 years of legalized abortion, we still don't have a plan to end abortion. I mean, it's sad.
Mm.
But, Father, I do pray that you would move mightily in our land, and, Father, that these projects that are going on all over this country, the Crisis Pregnancy Centers, and putting up the Ten Commandments, and fighting other evils that are in our land. And Father, we just ask you to encourage those people and to come alongside of them. But most of all, Father, that you would come along and fight for them and do great and mighty things that they might know that you love them and that you're fighting for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, that website, 10laws.us, correct?
That's correct. Yep. Yes.
10laws.us. If you as a listener want to get one of the yard signs, please do. In fact, we would encourage you to get a couple. One to give to someone else who maybe would like to put one in their yard as well. But Brother Charlie, please keep up the good work. And if someone wants, if they just want to get a sign or just learn more about the project, they just go to that same website, tinlaws.us, correct?
If they go to that website. And here, the thing about the million yard signs is I'm trying to do it before the election.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we hope every listener will get two or three signs in. So,
that's right.
Again, one more way to get involved. So, well, Brother Charlie, thank you so much. And we encourage every listener, pray for Brother Charlie in this wonderful project he's involved in getting these signs out. Thanks, Brother Charlie.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. Bless you. Bye.
All righty. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're hoping that every listener will prayerfully consider getting one of the yard signs. It's a wonderful witness for you in your community. In fact, you can disciple people driving down your street who may only drive down your street one time in their lifetime. But when they see the Ten Commandments, the Spirit of God will speak to their heart through this because there's power in God's Word. I want to share briefly one or two real brief articles before we bring our next guest on. This initial article, as we often share, it's entitled, What is a Safe Abortion? The title of the article, What is a Safe Abortion? Exodus 20, verse 13 says, You shall not murder. And then Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Again, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Recently, I was reading an article that was written in support of the issue, the tragic issue of abortion. It used the term safe abortion. Safe abortion. What does this phrase mean? Or maybe a better question is, what is it meant to convey when spoken? Let's define the two words of this phrase. A definition of safe is protected from or not exposed to danger or risk, not likely to be harmed or lost. Another definition of safe is free from harm or risk, unhurt, secure from threat of danger, harm, or loss. Then the second word is abortion. What is its definition? Abortion means the deliberate taking of the life of a baby in her mother's womb. Another definition of abortion is the murdering of a baby before he or she is born. So the phrase safe abortion appears to speak of a safe method of killing a human baby. What? What could such a phrase possibly mean? Sadly, it's a phrase that's meant to deceive and mislead. There is no safe method of taking the life of a human being. Likewise, there's no way to murder a human being without harming him or her. A related point is there's no right way to do wrong. There's no such thing as a safe abortion, period. One of the many reasons for this is the reality that when abortion is carried out, 100% of the time, a human being, a precious human being, dies. And sadly, in some cases, more than the baby dies. We live in a world full of deceptive words, phrases, and concepts that are conveyed through many forms of media every day. Reproductive health care? What is that? Abortion, as harsh as it may sound, is actually first-degree murder. It's the planned murder of an innocent human being. When the word abortion is changed to phrases such as reproductive health, a woman's right to choose, or a human right, none of these words change the reality of what's being carried out. When did people start to classify murder as a form of health care? Abortion still murders an innocent child. These terms simply sound nicer or more pleasant. They don't sound quite so harsh when someone says those words. Yet sadly, the result is the same. An innocent life is snuffed out. How important it is that we, the church, seek to speak the truth in love boldly. Abortion is wrong, and it always will be. Again, there's no right way to do wrong. In the midst of these truths, we're not to despair. Be mindful we serve a merciful and heavenly Father who tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess and repent of our sin, Christ will forgive us and set us free. Christ is ready to forgive, heal, and restore all who come to Him. In a world full of deception and lies and darkness, may we, the church, always read and know the truth. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life.
Music of Toby Mac with Speak Life. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Just before the break, we did share an article entitled, What is a Safe Abortion? And one of our goals in sharing the articles is to provide you with discipleship tools that you can email us for. To get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. A tool that we encourage you to use for you and the discipling of your family, but also to share with others, forwarding it to others that they too can hear truth that will help them in their walk with the Lord. This next article is entitled, The Dear Parent Letter. She called out of the blue. My parents have scheduled me to get an abortion. The abortion is scheduled for tomorrow. I want to keep my baby. Can you help me? Shay was 17. Still in high school, but still very much dependent on and under the care of her dad and mom. And Shay was desperate. How she got our phone number here in Tupelo, Mississippi, why she chose to call us, how she was funneled to us, we don't quite know except the sovereign hand of God. The best explanation, it seems, is God's grace and his sovereign love and mercy. She called and was crying out for help. She lived in another state far up north and literally lived across the country from where our ministry, the American Family Association, is located. Well, what could we do? In considering this situation, many people in our country don't realize that it's against the law for anyone, a parent, a guardian, a boyfriend, or even a husband, to try to force or coerce an abortion. If a mother's carrying a baby, whether she's 14 years old or 40 years old, and wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for anyone to try to force or coerce her to abort her baby. The law is clearly on the mother's side, no matter how young she may be. We immediately emailed Shay a copy of the Dear Parent letter that same day. We had her cell phone, so the following day, after not hearing from her right away, we called her back. We wanted to follow up and check on her. Shay answered the phone. She stated that she was at the abortion clinic that very moment, there with her mother, who had brought her. I thought to myself, why didn't you show your mom the letter before you went to the abortion clinic? It didn't say it, but that's what I thought. But I did encourage her, please show your mom the letter. Later in the day, Shay called back. I listened to her share the story of how her day went. She said, we didn't get an abortion. I showed mom and the people at the abortion clinic the letter. The clinic workers let us know that they couldn't do the abortion in view of my not wanting to have an abortion. Mom wasn't happy, but the abortion didn't happen. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Shay went on to say, they did an ultrasound on me. We found out that I was carrying twins. Praise God. The Holy Spirit used the courage of a young lady and this simple letter, the Dear Parent letter, that day to save not just one baby, but two babies. I would encourage every reader to do this and do it today. Go to the Justice Foundation website, a wonderful ministry in Texas, the Justice Foundation, and get a copy, download a copy of the Dear Parent letter. Read it, then read it again, and then pray and ask the Lord to show you who to send this letter to, either by email or hard copy, maybe to your local high school, middle school, to pastors, youth pastors. It's true that many people don't know that it's against the law, that if a mother wants to keep her baby, no matter what her age, in all 50 states, that is against the law. So it's important that we get involved. Again, thejusticefoundation.org, and download the Dear Parent letter. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. If you'd like to get copies of either one of those articles, again, the first article entitled, or the second article entitled, The Dear Parent Letter, And the first article is entitled, What is a Safe Abortion? Simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. We are very grateful and honored to have with us as our phone guest for the balance of the broadcast, Shannon Bagley. She's the director of the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Shannon, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
An honor to have you with us. And it's always a blessing to have pregnancy clinic directors on because I found out that all of them have big hearts for the Lord and big hearts for the work of helping to save babies and for the moms that they serve. Would you tell us a little bit more about yourself and about the work and the mission of the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, Mississippi?
Absolutely. Thank you. So I am a mother, an author. I have a couple of books that I've published. I'm the executive director at the center. I go around and speak, in advocacy for the unborn, and I'm just honored that the Lord has chosen me to do so because if you ask a lot of pregnancy resource directors, they will tell you that it was not a path that they chose, but a path that chose them.
Okay. Well, thank you again just for being willing to come on and share. Can you, if someone wants to get in touch with you or the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, how can they do that?
Yes, they can do that through our website at centerforpregnancychoices.com or vicksburgpregnancy.com is also a way to get in touch with us. You can also call us at 601-638-2778, and that's a direct line to the center.
All right. Well, Shannon, I want to ask if you'll do this. You know, it's important for us to not assume everyone listening knows what a pregnancy clinic is. Lots of people do. But then there are those people who sometimes they hear the term and their first thoughts are, what is a pregnancy clinic? Would you share with our listeners what a pregnancy clinic is?
Yes. So a pregnancy clinic is a resource clinic. We go by many names, so Center for Pregnancy Choices, CPC, Pregnancy Resource Center, but all of it is encompassed under one umbrella, really. So we have three main things that we really want to ensure that we do for our women, and that is to ensure that they're encouraged when they come in, that they're informed, and that they're supported. So we have a wide variety or a range of things that we do for our women. We come in, we provide peer counseling, which allows them to have a place, safe place to really talk through what they're feeling, what they're going through, what they're dealing with. We also have, we're allowed to job placements, so we do job readiness, and so we are allowed to be able to get into the community, which we have done, and connected with different places throughout our city, and we can connect them with jobs. We do continuing education, so we connect them with the local community college, so we're capable of getting them continued education. We're not just diapers and wipes, as most people think. When they come in, they're diapers and wipes. We give them diapers and wipes, sometimes formula. We're so much more than that. We do give that, praise God, because of our generous donors. However, we give car seats. We give clothes. We give... We have maternity clothing. We have classes and resources that range in a wide variety from, you know, your first trimester to doing financial awareness and being able to come into a place of financial stability. So we are a clinic that doesn't just support a woman in a crisis. We're a clinic that supports women and families through a lifetime. And that's our goal, is to not just change a mind, but change a life.
Mm. Well, Shannon, would you share maybe take time to share a story that illustrates why a ministry like yours is such an important one in your community or really any community?
I'm so glad you asked. I have a young lady just this year that came in. She had been to us before. Her previous child that she came in with, she wanted to do an adoption with, and so we were helping facilitate that. But after speaking with her, we really realized that she didn't really want to do an adoption plan, and she really did want to parent. She just didn't have the resources in her life, or didn't feel that she had the resources in her life to support another child. So we were able to connect her with a job, and we were able to give her resources and material resources that helped her continue to parent. So she comes back again this year, and she wants to similarly does not want to keep this child. She didn't directly say that she wanted an abortion, but she alluded to the fact that she didn't feel that she was capable of caring for a third child in her life. And so we, of course, counseled. We sat with her. We wept with her. You know, we supported her. And she did choose to carry her child, and she chose to parent. And mm-hmm. and these types of things that we experience with our women, we don't just have them come in and say, you know what, this is what you should do, keep your child, and then we send them on their way. We actually come in and we walk in their life with them. And I think that's one thing that people don't understand about a pregnancy resource center, is that when women come in, we don't just have them for that moment. We want to walk with them in the duration of their pregnancy, on into the child's birth, into their infancy, and we really want to walk with them beyond that if they want to. This woman, praise the Lord, she had come back even later and said that she was getting diagnoses of low amniotic fluid. The baby wasn't going to survive. The baby's lungs weren't developed. She was getting all of this negative feed from the doctor saying that which was really solidifying the fact that maybe she really should not have carried the child. But as we prayed, her amniotic fluid began to build and rise, which the doctors were amazed. The lungs, when they checked the baby out when he was born, were perfectly fine. He's got no other issues or problems, no brain issues, no lung issues, no heart issues. So the Lord came in and intervened in a place in a woman's life. So not only did she choose to parent, but she saw the overwhelming power of Jesus Christ in her life when she submitted her life to him through accepting salvation.
Praise God. Praise God. Shannon, would you take time to pray for listeners? You know, as people are listening, some may be immediately thinking, well, you know, I want to know better how to pray for ministries like this, or maybe to get involved or volunteer, or maybe the Lord might be leading some listeners to help start one in their community. Would you pray for believers to really seek God to find out what he would have them to do to be involved in the work of standing for life and supporting the work of life as well?
Absolutely. Father God, I come to you right now, Father, and I ask that you begin to work on the hearts of the people. You begin to send resources, an influx of resources for those who have a heart to start a resource center, to want to help more, to desire to really invest in the unborn in a way that they haven't before. Father God, I ask that you begin to give them a flood of ideas and revelations and wisdom, Father God, that as they begin to walk the path, that you will begin to light it for them, and it will become this incredible divine portion for them, that they will be able to stand true and hold firm, Father God, that they will be surrounded by the people that they need to support that. And Father God, I thank you for their hearts, and I thank you for your wisdom, and I thank you that you will provide exactly what each of them needs. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Shannon, I think of this too, that there's such a need for the church as a whole to really seek God's heart about what he'd have a local church to do, as well as individuals, because even though many people consider themselves pro-life, there's so much more that can and needs to be done by the people of God. And so getting involved, we're encouraging every single listener to go to the Lord and ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do to be involved with this very important work of helping and supporting the great work of pregnancy clinics? But do you have maybe another testimonial you can share, Shannon?
Yes, I had a young lady, this is one of my favorite, that she came in several years ago, and she wanted to abort. She was young, very young mother, and we understood that was scary. And so I personally sat in the room with her and talked with her for over an hour. And by the end of it, I didn't hold her there. She just needed to talk. And so her and I just talked. And by the end of that, she said, you know what, I do truly believe that I can parent, and I don't want to get this abortion. And you know, of course, we celebrate that. Well, she walks into my office about 2 years later. You know, we knew she had the baby. We gave her a gift. She walks into my office 2 years later, and she says, I want you to know, she's pregnant again. And she walked into the office and said, I want you to know that At first, when I found out I was pregnant with my first son, it was a little boy, she said, I couldn't imagine my life with a child. But now I can't imagine my life without him. And I want to thank you and the Pregnancy Resource Center for being there for me in such a struggling time and helping me see the overall picture rather than just that one moment of struggle and fear. And that's really what we want our women to see, is that we don't want to make this rash decision in a moment that affects your lifetime. And she really was so appreciative of that time that we spent. And it was a very small amount of time for me, but it was a lifetime for another human being.
Mm-hmm. You know, that story and stories like it are such powerful testimonies of God's grace working in it, because as you listen to a story like that, Shannon, one of the things we find out is many times these young women, they're scared. They're so fearful of the unknown and fearful of what might happen, as well as part of the pressure is sometimes, sadly, family can put a lot of pressure in the wrong ways to encourage them to abort, tell them that they're not ready, this is not a good time, and you don't need a baby. But it's important for us as the church to always be the church, always be the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, stir us, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us as parents, as grandparents, and as the church to be the people of compassion and mercy that would come alongside and love these precious women at a time like this, not encourage them and pressure them to do the wrong thing. Help us to think, act, and carry ourselves with love and mercy as the church you've called us to be should do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest is Shannon Bagley. We'll be right back. Of Elevation Worship with O Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Shannon Bagley. She's the director of the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Shannon, would you tell us more about the outreaches that you all are involved with? I think you're involved in part with not only helping the women, but you have an outreach to men involved as well, correct?
Absolutely. We understand that our women did not come in the situation that they are alone, that there was someone else that was helping. And we are reaching out to fathers and men also in this Pregnancy Resource Center. We find it important that they bring these men in with them. So a lot of women will only come in by themselves, but we've started to encourage them to bring the fathers with them, because we want to really encourage them to understand the importance of the family unit and why Christ set up the family unit the way he did, and the covering that comes with. And we have actually had an extremely positive outcome of that, where we have seen three marriages this year alone of people who weren't even considering marriage to begin with, but after visiting the center and speaking with Michelle Johnson as one of our client advocates, she's actually my director of client advocacy, and she is really just encompass these men into our programs, and the fruit is there when people come back and say, we're getting married, or we want you to marry us, because I myself and Michelle are both licensed ministers. So we're able to even walk with them in that, and we will put the wedding on for them. We get the resources. We help support them in any way we can. So I want people to really understand that men, and helping them understand their role in the lives of a child, is highly important in this generation, because most men think that they have no rights or have no abilities or really have no say, but they really do. And we want to bring them in to help them understand that as well. And so that's why we're really reaching out to the fathers of the women, of the children of the CPC. And I think it's important for people to know that. Like I said, we don't just do diapers and wipes. We do so much more in that, in the resources that we have.
Mm. Would you pray for the church to really come alongside sinners to help them do these kinds of things? Because again, the reality is a pregnancy clinics really are simply extensions of the church in the truest sense of the word. But for churches to really become involved with supporting, working with, and coming alongside pregnancy clinics.
Yes, Father God, I ask you right now that you begin to work on the hearts of the people at the churches, that I know that there's so many people that want to get involved, but they're not really sure how to get involved. But God, right now, I ask that you really lay it upon their hearts to pray for the Red Pregnancy Resource Centers right now, to pray for the fathers and the women and the people that work there, Father God, that they lift us up and cover us. This is a battle, Father God. We are battling such a spiritual battle right now, Father God, and we need the prayers of the righteous to cover us as we move forward in this. And not only that, Father God, just the financial help to be able to support us to continue the work that we do. And the volunteers, Father God, we call them in from the north, south, east, and west, Father God, that they'll show up at our doorstep, that the material resources of everything that we need, from diapers and wipes to clothing for babies, Father God, to maternity resources, Father God, that they will begin to pour in our doors, Father God. And we, God, we ask this in your holy and righteous name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you for every believer listening and for each church represented. Father, more and more stir the church to recognize there's a great need for the church to become passionately involved with this work of helping to support life and stand for life and support the work of pregnancy ministries and other pro-life ministries that are out there on the front lines doing great work. Help us to know, Lord, that the church desperately needs many more intercessors who seriously know how to pray and build the kingdom of God and tear down the kingdom of darkness that comes against life. And help us to know there's need for many more to volunteer and to give of their time and their effort. There's need for many churches to simply put pregnancy clinics and these other ministries like these in their monthly budgets to help them operate and do what they're called to do. Help us, Lord, to fully get involved in all the ways you'd have each of us to be involved. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Are there any other aspects of the outreaches of the center that you'd like to share about today?
I do want to have people do pray and understand that we as the center have learned that many women do not really truly want to have abortions, that the reason that they seek this as an option or feel that it's their only option is because of other things that are happening or going on in their lives, or lack that they feel is happening. And so we've understand that. And as I talked about earlier in the program, where we are connecting with businesses, local businesses, and connecting men and women with jobs, that we're helping with continuing education, that we're doing job readiness, preparedness, that we're helping them know how to go in and do a good interview to be able to get that job. We have learned that if you are able to support them in these ways, that you actually support them in the life of their child. And so I want to encourage people that if you're a business out there, or if you know how to help with computer programming, you know, helping people learn how to do computer and helping them learn just typical skills that you would just need to know in any everyday job, life skills in general. We help them with life skills. If you are one of those people, we need you on the front lines at our Pregnancy Resource Center. We need your help. We need help in saving these lives
every day that walk in our door. And if we're not able to save a child to something more, then what are we saving this life to? So we need you to pray for us that every person that walks in the door, that they will receive the salvation that Jesus died for. Because we want to save them not to just this life, but to an eternal life as well.
Mm. Amen. Amen. And I want to encourage every believer to be mindful, too, that, again, every pregnancy clinic really needs your prayers. And wherever you're listening from, I would encourage, if you don't know where your local pregnancy clinic is, find out. Find out where it is. And I would encourage you to go by and just let them know that you're praying for them. Or, and even if you can give a contribution, whatever the amount, large or small, whatever you're able to do, every contribution is a seed to help save one more baby in that community. And even in states where basically abortion may be outlawed, the sad reality is because of chemical abortion, sadly, women can still get abortions in all 50 states. And it's not hard for them to get the chemical abortion pills. So it's important that we all are engaged, that we find out where our local pregnancy clinics are and be supportive of them in whatever ways the Lord would have us to be. So maybe one more testimonial story that you can share from a client that you all have had walk through your doors.
I think the last most powerful story, I had a young lady who visited our center, and she was pregnant because of rape. And we spoke with her for a while, and she said she didn't believe in abortion and that she didn't think that that was the right thing to do. So she did choose life, chose to parent. She came in just not too long ago and said that she was pregnant again and by her husband, and that she was thrilled to be able to come back to the resource center that helped her choose life for her unborn child the first time. And so even in these cases, women need support and are choosing life. And I think that's very important for people to know and understand.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, even I know, I don't know how many times pastorally I've run into a situation where they'll say in a very prideful way, well, what about in the case of rape? How can you tell that mom she should carry that child? Well, the reality is that certainly we know rape is a terrible crime against a woman, mm-hmm. against an individual. And there's no excuse for that, and it is a terrible thing. But on the other hand, the reality is, why should someone execute the baby for the crime of a criminal dad in that situation? So killing the baby is never the answer. It's like doing something even worse to the baby, murdering the baby because of the crime of the dad. So it's important to know that we, the church, are to bring the love of Christ, the support of Christ, the mercy of Christ alongside, to love that mom and her baby through difficult situations like that then. So, well, would you share with our listeners one more time, if someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about your center, tell them how they can do that.
Yes, absolutely. You can go to our website at cpcvicksburg.com. You can get in touch with us there. If you're looking for a pregnancy resource center and you are in a situation, in a pregnancy situation where you need help, you can go to vicksburgpregnancy.com. If you want to call us directly, that number is 601-638-2778.
And how would you ask listeners to pray for your ministry?
Pray for protection over our women that come in, our families that come in. Pray for a renewed energy over us. This is a very taxing place for us. It is spiritually draining, and we just need a renewed. We need to be mounted up on wings like eagles. We need to grow, to run and not grow weary. And I've been at this job for I think 8 years right now, and it's day after day. You're constantly bombarded with the realities of what this world and this nation has veered towards. And the sad reality is that we're dealing with younger and younger women or even teens coming in, and just pray for our teens. We need to pray for our teens in these schools that are dealing with far more mature subject matter and things than the generations before. So mm-hmm. just support us, and you know, your prayer is highly valued right now for us.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Center for Pregnancy Choices in Vicksburg. And thank you, Lord, for many other pregnancy clinics in our communities that are doing the same kind of work. Father, pour out your spirit of mercy, grace, and renewal upon this ministry and many others as well as they do the wonderful work of speaking truth, the work of loving these women during this time, encouraging them to keep their babies, encouraging them to even consider adoption as well, but stir them more and more with the spirit of encouragement. Help them to be about the work you've called them to be and simply being the hands and feet of Jesus in their communities. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me and commit your life to Christ today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read the word of God every day. Help me to seek you in prayer every day. Help me to obey you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you pray that prayer, we very much want to be in touch with you. If you committed your life to Christ just then, we want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. And once again, if you want to get copies of either the articles we shared, the first article entitled, What is a Safe Abortion? And the second one, The Dear Parent Letter, we'll be glad to share one or both. Simply email us again, joseph@afr.net. Shannon, would you share with our listeners one more time if they want to get in touch with you or the center, tell them how to do that?
Yes, you can go to cpcvicksburg.com, or if you are looking for help and resources, you can go to vicksburgpregnancy.com, or you can call us directly at 601-638-2778.
Thanks so much. Please pray much for the Center for Pregnancy Resources. Be blessed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.